Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Coming to you from Old Trafford today. You might be able to hear the noise in the background. I'm Harry Robinson. My regular co-host, Jack Tate, is away this weekend. So I'm bringing you right to the heart of MUFC because who knows how much longer that'll be possible at this grand old place. It's match day, United against Everton. But the pre-match talk for me and for thousands attending today is not about Rashford or Hoyland's injury or the baffling absence of Malacia and Mount. It's about Old Trafford because on Friday afternoon, United announced a 10-strong task force has been created to, and I quote, explore options for regenerating the Old Trafford area of Greater Manchester with the development of a world-class football stadium at the heart of the project. The chair of the task force is Seb Coe, who led the 2012 London Olympics organising committee. He's a Chelsea fan. There is some ambition stated, some good quotes, a new stadium of national significance, a once-in-a-century opportunity, but I have some major concerns. I'll outline some of those first and then get the thoughts of some other match-going United fans, hopefully from a fairly broad spectrum. There are different opinions here, and that's fine. My first concern regards the statement and what it says about this regeneration project, because at every juncture, Manchester United as a football club appears to be secondary to a wider project. You take the first line, regenerating the Old Trafford area with the development of a world-class football stadium. Should it not be the other way around? You take the third paragraph, assess the feasibility of a new stadium of national significance, equipped to host international games and finals, as well as providing a modernised home for Manchester United. As well, it doesn't seem right, and maybe it's just semantics, but I do have an uneasy feeling about it all. There are 10 members on this panel. One of them is the chief executive of Muster, Manchester United Supporters Trust, and it's great that someone from Muster's included. However, I can't see how anyone else on the board is not in a bit of a compromised position from a fan point of view, because everyone to me there would benefit personally, either financially or in terms of status, political or social, by the creation of a new stadium, not a renovated one. You've got Anna Bensky, the associate director of Peel Land. A new stadium would likely see Peel sell some land to United. Fandy Burnham, the mayor, it's a great tagline for elections, helps build a new world-class stadium in Manchester, help push the city forward. For Ratcliffe, of course, it's a point of legacy for a 71-year-old man, clearly desperate to do things quickly. Feel as it's partly just that old thing. You ask a marketing company to redesign a logo and they're going to redesign it, even if they deep down think the original one's good. You got Gary Neville, who will, of course, benefit through the regeneration as well, through his property companies. There are plenty of other reasons for concern. Seb Coe led the Olympics. He claims, even in this statement with United, that the Olympic Stadium proved a catalyst for social and economic development. Well, yeah, but I grew up near the Olympic Stadium in North London, not East, but not far away. And it's a vastly changed area, absolutely. It's lovely now. It's cool. But who has it changed for? Not the original occupants of Newham, the borough in which it was built. The Olympic Organising Committee promised to build 30 to 40,000 new homes. Seb Coe promised that himself. Only 13,000 have been built 12 years on. And just 11% of those, the ones that have been built, are genuinely affordable to people from on average incomes in the local area. Is that what the people of Old Trafford, the area, not the stadium, want? Is that what they want? Is that what they deserve? Well, Trafford Council need to consider that properly. You've got Nancy Rothwell, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Manchester, which I attended. She had a terrible reputation among students for tracking the social media accounts of those protesting. A clear sign of misguided priorities, if you ask me, for erecting prison-like fences around student accommodation during the pandemic without any communication is kind of besides the point. But the point really is, yes, it's great there is representation of one match-going fan in Duncan Drysdale from the Manchester United Supporters Trust, but that's it. And those who we might like to think have United at heart also concern me. So Jim Ratcliffe is clearly affectionate for Old Trafford. When he toured here a couple of years ago at the start of the bid process, I'm told he fondly remembered buying the football pink outside with his dad. But, let's be honest, he didn't come to a game for 40 years, as far as we know. 30, 40 years, even while having all the money in the world. Gary Neville played hundreds of times at Old Trafford and has attended many times since, but he goes through the press lounge, up to the gantry or the studio. He doesn't stand in the Stretford end. That's what worries me. These people decide in the future for match-going fans. How much do they know about match-going fans? Plans have been made for Old Trafford renovations before, mainly focused on rebuilding the south stand, which is currently one tier. Those plans do exist. I know they exist to build upwards and potentially make a 90,000 capacity Old Trafford. And just with all of this, I fear that too little thought is being given to renovation and everything is being given towards a new build. If match-going fans are surveyed and vote in favour of a new build, fine, I'll accept that, and I'll accept that I'm in the minority, that's okay, but that has to happen. Supporters have to make their voices heard, because it's us who'll be here every week, it's us who will have to pay more for every game to finance the new stadium, not those sat at home. The Red Army said this morning, they said, a myriad of reasons will be given for a new stadium, but everyone is ultimately financial. So you can agree with that. Club finances are important. And if a new stadium is going to take United to the next level, you might think it's worth it. But don't. No one should believe that what's really at consideration here is matchgoers' views. The final thing from me before I get to other people's views. The suggestion in the Times that the new build is looking at an 80,000 capacity stadium. It's baffling to me. It just seems a pathetic lack of ambition. Had progress on Old Trafford continued after the Glazer takeover in 2005... we'd be at a 90,000 capacity already. The target capacity when Old Trafford was built in 1910 was 100,000. So we'd be behind that. I think to sacrifice, and this is what it's really about, is it's deciding where what you value more. So to sacrifice such rich history and memories for just 7,000 more seats and a bit of extra comfort would feel really wasteful to me. I think any new build United ground has to be worth that lost history, and it also has to match the kind of enormous growing demand for tickets. You've got to aim for the stars. Is a world leading 120,000 capacity stadium possible? Well, it's worth finding out. It's Manchester United, you might as well try. Final point, I think part of the reason why this is so frustrating is because we see this so much in life, in wider life in Britain. You see people's institutions and places that normal people call home or value very highly, you see them knocked down or replaced in favour of something new that will be able to push profit margins up just a little bit more. It happens with pubs, old cinemas, restaurants, social clubs, all of them. And often, sometimes, we're left with fantastic new institutions and great places that we come to love. We're often also left with gentrified shit. And that's my concern for Old Trafford. This is a place that, I don't know, it activates more than just the five senses. There's kind of an extra sixth sense here when it's at its best. There's that feeling that you're standing and cheering on the same spot that a 1930s United fan did, cheering on Stan Pearson, and now it's Marcus Rashford or Cobbie Mine. There's that feeling, that knowledge, subconscious knowledge, that you're standing on the terraces which the Busby Bays ran up and down to train after the Second World War. So much of United's identity is connected to this place. Unique identity. And if it's all looked at and it's decided that a new stadium is the best way forward, that's okay. But I fear there is a rush towards the other option now, and supporters have to make their valuable opinions heard, that it can't just be a one-way street. This has to be a consultation, and there has to be some acknowledgement that this place really is special and there are two options here, not just one. Right. It's less than an hour before kickoff. Just headed past the fanzine sellers. Been chatting to Andy Mitten from United We Stand, who was giving his thoughts on the new stadium. He was saying his views have changed over the last few years. Well, last 12 to 18 months, and that he favours a new build much more than he did before. And that's the nature of it. I've seen I've been to Athletic Club in Bilbao's stadium, and that convinced me more than any other ground did. I think you could build a great new stadium, but with these things you just fear the idea could be great, but will it be executed properly, and will it be executed in a way that satisfies us, the fans, who'll have to be there every week. So I'm going to head into the ground and speak to a couple of mates and see what they think.
Hi mate. How you doing?
Rebuild or renovate?
That's
the correct response. It's a very unknown answer.
I'm going to say renovate. As much as it seems like it's falling apart. The toilets are pissing with water. I actually flushed the toilet before and a load of someone else's shit come up. I can't run away from the fact that I've been coming here for the past, 15 years. I don't know, I think it sounds dead generic going, oh, the history of the club, the history at Old Trafford. I think it is relevant still. I think to completely build a new stadium, half a mile down the road, I think it seems regressive for us. If we can, I don't know the rules, to be honest. The functions of building onto certain stands and why we can and can't build, I don't really understand that side of it. But if we can renovate it, I think we just need to add to both the longer stands. because, you know, my granddad come here, my granddad's ashes are buried under Old Trafford. My dad introduced me to Old Trafford. I can't let go of that.
That's the key point, isn't it? It's all, everything else is fluff.
That's it, you know.
And I understand when people say, oh, you need to think about, like, it's, this decision is for your kids and your grandkids. And I get that. But also, like, I'm going to be going to this place for the next 40 or 50 or 60 years, hopefully. I think my opinion does count as well. And that connection is, I was saying earlier, it's like the football should and does, like, activate your five senses. Like, you come round the corner and you see Old Trafford and you smell the onions.
That's it.
And you hear the fanzine sellers and all of this, and you get all of it. But there is something weird there on its best days where it activates, like, another sense of this knowledge of, like, what's come before. And for you, it's even more closely tied than for me or others because of what you just said. How can you leave that?
Well, the way I see it, like, it's I can see both sides. Like, I can see building a new ground because it obviously has fallen behind in terms of versus other grounds that you go to and things like that. But so I can see when people say we need to go again. But yeah, the cultural significance for the reasons, some of the reasons you both just specified, is just, it'd be such a shame to lose that, and to lose that for, if you believe the reports that are going around. I read the other day that it was for an 80,000 seater, and it's like, okay, you're giving up what Old Trafford represents for 10,000 extra seats, 6,000 extra seats. It just seems a bit of a shame. I think if it's for an 80,000 seater, a more modern look, I think it has to be, they have to fucking blow it out of water with 100,000.
If it's 80,000 versus renovating, it's a very easy choice, but that is one report. An easy choice to stay at Old Trafford. Yeah. But if I say it's 120,000, that's a hard choice, isn't it?
80,000 people benefit, what is it, 4,000 to 6,000 more people a week. It's,
yeah.
I was sat in front of a kid before, and he must have been 5, right? And his hair, you could tell it was his first game, his hair with his dad. He's walked out on the stage, he was like, wow, you know. he's absolutely buzzing for it. And don't get me wrong, if we go to this new stadium, it's going to be a spectacle, isn't it, if it does flourish. But it doesn't have that connection to from us, as, you know, we've been going there for 10 years, haven't we, 15 years. It doesn't have that.
I think the phrase is weight of history. You can feel it when you're here. And it does. I think there's this desperation to pretend that this stuff doesn't matter. And it does matter. All right, we're bringing in an Everton fan to this discussion because Everton are probably in the most similar situation to us.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Because Arsenal were probably more limited by capacity in the mid-2000s, whereas Everton, very similar, is that it's a step up, but you could have stayed at Goodison if you wanted to, but the comfort is, I mean, worse than Old Trafford.
Yeah.
What have you made of the whole process?
So, I mean, I think the move to the new stadium, I think it's well documented on social media already that the new stadium, it looks great.
Yeah, it does.
And I think it is going to be a really, you know, mega stadium, similar to hopefully what Tottenham have done, because I think Tottenham Stadium is really nice. But it doesn't feel right not going to Goodison, because that's where I've gone all my life. That's where my dad's gone all his life. My granddad went all his life as well. And, you know, so many great players for our club have played there and played on that ground. So it feels more, because it's obviously getting older, the stadium, and it is falling down a little bit, similar to what Old Trafford's a little bit like. You can tell it's an old ground. When you go to some of these, like the Etihad and Anfield's, the main stand, the new stand, you know, it's really smart, it's really posh, but it doesn't to me, it doesn't feel like what I think of when I think about going the match.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I want to be in a football stadium. I don't want to feel like I'm in an executive suite at some hotel, which is what a lot of them do feel like. And you know what? It is nice and it is smart, but it'll be a very sad day when it is the last game at Goodison.
Because how much of Everton's, I mean, especially Everton, given the fact a rent dispute at Anfield, the whole point was you were moving to Goodison. So I think you're quite similar. I think more than some other clubs, our identity is very closely linked to Old Trafford because we've been here for so long, and because of Munich and like the knowledge that the Busby Babes ran up and down the terraces that we now stand on. Yeah. And for you, your identity is also, I mean, more so than us. The whole point you exist is Goodison Park.
Yeah.
So how much of Everton's identity do you think is Goodison Park, and how do you then move on when that's not there anymore?
I would say it's pretty much our entire identity, especially at the moment, because I think growing up, I identify with a lot of players, you know, Tony Ibbett, Leighton Baines, Tim Howard, players like that. You felt like they loved the club. Now, I don't doubt that there are not players at the club who love it, but it doesn't. I feel like I don't feel like they're turning up with the same kind of love that I did when I was, you know, 16, right, growing up watching football. And a lot of that is, you know, the grand old lady of Goodison. That feeling of, you know, we moved there in, I think it was 1892.
Yeah.
After we did the dispute of Anfield and we gave it to what became Liverpool Football Club. So to move away from it, it's going to be heartbreaking. Now, I go to the match with a gentleman who's in his 90s. Yeah. I mean, he's still, you know, fit as a fiddle and still remembers everything. He still talks about like the 40s, and he remembers like his first World Cup was 1950. And it's like, Jesus Christ, name's Fred. He's a brilliant guy, but it's all he's ever known, and he's, you know, 90, so it's all anyone's who supports Everton has ever known. So to move away and to try and build that same feeling, like, I'm sure like the first season and the first games will feel big because it's exciting,
special,
but I think deep down, myself certainly and a lot of other Evertonians will feel like it won't feel right not being at Goodison. Almost,
I grew up around Arsenal. I remember when they left Highbury, it was really emotional, and a lot of my parents' mates, well, all of my parents' mates are Arsenal fans, and they all still talk like so fondly about Highbury, but they have moved on. Obviously, it's been like 15, nearly 20 years. So you can move on, but it is, I don't know, I always fear, are we being shifted out of the way for, like, it's, did Everton, did you want a new stadium?
I didn't want one. I understand why the decision was made, and it was more in a sense, I think, of trying to progress the club. Because you think about, obviously, the most recent club to move at the top level was probably West Ham.
Yeah.
When they applied and got the London Stadium. And to say goodbye to like a Upton Park, a staple for so many years in the Premier League. I know they went down a couple of times, but Upton Park, proper ground. And when they moved to London Stadium, they all hated it. They didn't like it. I mean, I'm not a West Ham fan, so I don't know.
I went a couple of months ago. It's a terrible place.
I still think they don't really like it. And they're still, I think if you asked most West Ham fans, they would probably, you know, if you could go to one, they would all go to Upton Park.
Yeah, and I think that's the worry. At least you've been able to build your own.
It does look
amazing.
Yeah, it looks amazing, and I know theirs wasn't purpose built for the football team, but just, you don't want to that risk of, it doesn't feel the same, it doesn't feel right, and you stop almost enjoying it. And ultimately, that's what it's all about, is going to the match and enjoying the match.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you want to feel like when you walk into the ground, you want to feel something. Yeah. You want to feel a buzz and the energy. And I mean, I hope when we do move, we do still feel that. We do still have that, but you don't know until you do it, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you go for the buzz and you go for like that social connection.
Yeah, that's
it's always got to be that awareness. Is when you move ground, there will be some people left behind.
Yeah.
Who either might not come for their own choice, or they might not be able to afford it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what worries me a lot. It's like it's a very easy. It's an easy excuse to change the makeup of a club support. It's a new ground.
Yeah, it can massively change the kind of dynamic of a match day, because you think about, I mean, this is the first time I've been to a football match at Old Trafford, and you see all the kind of businesses that have opened up nearby and around, and I think about all of the pubs that the Evertonians drink at after a match day. I can't, beyond, you know, the people who go there through the week,
yeah,
can't think of who else is going to go that way and go down there and, you know, fund these small pubs and small businesses. Like, what it'll do to the area once. I know the club have got plans in place to what to do with the ground, and I believe they're going to turn it into like a sports facility for the local schools. I think that's really good. I'm very happy with that. But I think about the businesses that make so much revenue on a match day. How, what it's going to do to them? Will they be able to keep going? Will they close down? And then, there is obviously the flip side of round the new ground. How many new businesses are going to be able to pop up? And can the businesses at Goodison now afford to kind of get up and move to the new ground and keep going? And you hope a lot of them can, but, you know, the pubs and stuff, the Oak, you know, it's a massive pub that on a match day you can't get a seat. But I've been through the week because I used to work up that way, and it's, you know, you've got to shout to the next person because they're sat so far away because no one's in there.
Yeah, I remember a story about, on the subject of Upton Park, it used to be a calf opposite where the players would go in the 60s and the 70s, and that's where a lot of like modern English football tactics were created, was because they would go into the calf after training and like create new routines with salt and pepper shakers the fact they've left, and that calf's now closed down because obviously it can't operate. Leaving that heritage behind is partly because I'm a history nerd and I love all of that, but it does just feel such a waste to me.
It's, like I said, it is a business.
Yeah.
The football and the Premier League, it is a business. It's about how to make your best assets make more money and when to invest in those assets. So that's why I think the Tottenham one was obvious, the Arsenal one was obvious, City obvious, Liverpool new stand obvious, and because it's about getting more people going to a match day. I think United take the most on a match day in terms of revenue, because you get 73,000 in today. Obviously, a lot of new fans, a lot of people coming for the first time, possibly the only time. And, you know, they go into the club shop and they pay, they get a shirt and they get a scarf and a hat, and they get a pie at the game and a pint. And the match day revenue is incredible, especially the other one I can think of is Anfield. Just the way they've renovated the back and they put the club shop next door to the ground. And when you turn up on a match day, even 3 hours before kickoff, there's a queue outside the shop because people are there for, like I said, the first time, potentially the only time, and they want to get the kit, the shirt, the scarf. They want to have something to remember it by, because, you know, they want to have a great day and enjoy it, and that's good. But you take away the people.
It's got to be balanced.
People like Fred, who've been coming for probably 70 years through the war and all sorts, and what they do on a match day. Like, we have a set routine, that's what we do, and a lot of other people will have a set routine. They leave at this time, they get on this bus or this train, or they get a lift, and then afterwards they go to this pub, they sit at this place, and they drink with these people, and even actually at the match and where you sit, like, how do you allocate the seats in the new stadium? That's just because you've sat there for, my dad's had his season ticket for getting on to 40 years, does he get to sit with the three lads, exactly, yeah, who he's sat with for 40 years?
I think that's the underestimated point of it, is a new stadium gives a club, and this is a cynical view, but gives a club an opportunity to get rid of all those kind of relationships that's been, in their eyes, holding them back.
Yeah.
Like all those groups of fans who have said, no, we won't move unless you move us together. And I understand from the club's point of view that can be annoying, but like, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
It's all point.
It's what you come for. It's to sit. So I've only had my ticket for about 5 years, my season ticket, but I've already got to know all the people who are sitting around. So, you know, I rock up, I say hello to Jim, I ask him about, he tells me about his holiday or whatever he's been doing. It's this random, you know, he's got to be in his 60-year-old man called Jim, who I wouldn't know unless I sat next to him, and now we've got a lovely little relationship. And when he's not at a match because he's away, I always think, oh, where's Jim today? And yeah, and it's things like that, and I feel comfortable, and you know, the people who I sit around, I all like. There's no, you know, there's no like people coming like once, and I mean it's kind of like you said, a bit of a cynical view to think, oh, I don't want to sit next to someone who's coming for the first time, because I don't want them to be a bit overexcited. I like sitting next to the people I know, and the people I like, and the people I get on with. But that's where you make your money, with the people who are coming for the first time. Because I rock up 10 minutes before kickoff. I'm not going to go into the club shop and buy a shirt and buy a scarf, whereas someone here for the first time will. And that's where the club makes your money.
Yeah.
So that's what they want, is people who are coming on the one-off and the one time. That's why Liverpool do it, and it's worked out great for them. And
I think that's the only argument but one of the arguments for a new build from our perspective is, if you can make the capacity big enough where you can keep the same number of local season ticket holders and still have 50,000 people coming to their only game, so club are happy, we're happy, then I understand it. But it has to then be 100 or 120,000. But having been to Old Trafford first time, final question, does it feel to you like it needs to be rebuilt or a new build, or does it feel to you like it's a good stadium that could do with a little bit extra?
I'm not certain on this answer, but I'd obviously heard that, you know, Old Trafford's fallen down and all that kind of stuff that said. I didn't think it was that bad at all. I thought it was a nice ground. I thought, you know, the way it's designed and the way it's developed over the years, you know, you'd have liked, you know, an extra 100 yards, a couple of places, just have a little bit more breathing room for the amount of fans that are in. But I think redevelopment's the best option. I don't think I'd knock it down and build that. I don't think it's as bad as it's made out to be. I think it is still a nice, good ground that just needs a bit of work doing. Whether you can accommodate building a new stand and getting an extra 10,000-15,000 in, I think that's what I'd probably do. And I think you've kind of just got to have, probably, you're going to take best part of 20 years to kind of, I think every stand just needs fully kind of redoing, and it's going to take time, and it's going to be very difficult to do, and it's like a lot of money, but you've got the investment now from Radcliffe, and if he really is passionate and he really does want to develop the ground, then that's the way to do it, is to keep Old Trafford as it is, make it still feel like everyone knows it, and the people who come every week, and just modernise it without taking away too much.
Well,
First of all, Mark, you need to introduce yourself as someone from a unique perspective here.
Yeah, all right. I'm from Netherlands, just north of Amsterdam, and I try to get over here for every home game where I can.
This is a truly sick man.
Yeah, they say yeah. So.
Old Trafford, rebuild, renovate, or leave the same?
That's a difficult question.
You are someone who thinks this Old Trafford is so great that you come every, well, in shit seasons like this one, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Last season, once every week.
Yeah.
From a different country. You obviously value it so much.
It is really difficult. I love the stadium, I love the ground, I love everything. But at the same time, I see that it's old-fashioned and that it's cramped. And for match-going fans, I think the current Old Trafford is fine. It's just fine. But I can see for executives wanting to have more facilities. I can see how the club would want more seats. I can see where this could be going. So I wouldn't want to block that.
Why?
If this is the future of our club, where we make a new atmosphere, where we support our team just as we do now, then we'll make that work.
What's the minimum capacity of the new ground that would convince you to leave the current one?
That's a difficult thing, because one of the main issues with the current ground is that you can't expand it beyond, I don't know, 80,000 or something. And with the new ground, you could. I don't think you can pinpoint me on a number, but...
All right, let me test you. 80.
And that's a bit... That's a bit small.
85.
Nah.
90.
Maybe.
95.
Yeah, that's a bit more in the direction, yeah.
100.
That will do.
120.
100 will do. No, but with fans not being able to get tickets, and then having 20,000 extra seats, that would be great.
Or 47,000 extra tickets.
That'd be great. And then we may not fill them all every home game. That doesn't matter. That'd be great.
And if you don't fill it, you hand over the remaining tickets for free to the local community. You create a new generation of United fans.
That's lovely. And I think you should.
My idea was very romantic. Is 120,000, 5,000 of which are given for free to kids up to the age of 12 to stand at the front of what would be the new Stretford End, because they will support United for the rest of their lives.
I'd love that. I just love that.
So those were the thoughts of an array of Manchester United fans at the match against Everton, after the match against Everton, and one Everton fan. It was really interesting to get that insight into from a fan who's going through the process that perhaps we will go through in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. It's a really emotive topic, and one I'm very passionate about. I love Old Trafford, but as you heard at the end there is even my instinct, in fact, not just my instinct, my hope is that United will stay at a renovated Old Trafford and a vastly improved one with widened concourses and increased capacity by Rearward and the South Stand and and some other changes in terms of facilities and comfort and experience for supporters around the stadium, not just in. But even from me with that position, I can still be excited by the possibilities that a brand new ground would offer next to the current stadium. As I've said before, if that were to be the case, I would love to see Old Trafford reduced back to a single tier and made the home of the Manchester United women team, and the academy teams could play there as well, both men's and women's. And it could also be used, I suppose, for local, for community games, like major finals in the local area as well, and possibly for smaller international tournaments, like youth international tournaments or and other such events in sport. So there can be, I can get excited about the prospect of a new stadium. I'm sure many of you listening will be on the other side of it. I don't think we heard many thoughts there from those I spoke to who really backed the building of a new stadium. But those, I'm sure some of you exist, and I can fully understand why. I just hope that this decision is... I love the fact things are moving quickly, but I hope nothing is rushed into, because this is, as Ratcliffe himself said, a once-in-a-century opportunity. It's not one that United can get wrong. I'd love to hear your thoughts, so if you'd like to send them to me, I'm on Twitter at TyreeRobinson64. The podcast is at UTD Weekly Pod. I'd love to hear the thoughts of many United fans, particularly from you, because I think it's a fascinating topic, and clearly we can all talk about what's going on the pitch and transfers and directors of football, but this is the biggest of them all, and in 30 years' time, this is what will really matter, not which executive is appointed or which player is signed for a specific position. So I'd love to get your thoughts. A reminder that Jack's away this weekend, that's why you haven't heard his views. We will be back to preview the Liverpool game, the FA Cup quarter final, which is really exciting. The nerves are beginning to kick in, but I'm really excited for that game, and maybe it'll be one of those that shows just how incredible Old Trafford can be still, despite its critics. We'll be back to preview that game. We'll analyse the Everton game a bit as well. I thought United were really poor in the game, to be honest. We did create chances, and Garnacho was lively, electric, earned two penalties and had some great runs, but his finishing was poor, and that's certainly something for him to work on. When he has time to think about his finishing, it tends to be worse. It's something we mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks ago. It's something that Rashford had before Ole Gunnar Solskjaer became manager and fixed. Something he occasionally falls back into that trap as well. If Garnacho can improve that, he'll be just in it. He's already a great player, but will be a really, really top-level player. But in general, I thought United were poor, but could have... It felt very comfortable and could have won that game 5-0. It's a very... I think this United-Everton fixture this season is unique and in its strangeness. But it's a good win and a good way to go into this quarter-final with Liverpool. So I'll analyse that game a bit more in our next episode, which will probably be out on Wednesday evening, mainly previewing the Liverpool game. And we'll have some questions from our patrons that we'll be answering around those games as well. Final reminder is, if you're interested in learning about one of Sir Jim Ratcliffe's predecessors and what James W. Gibson, who was club president between 1932 and 1951, did to Old Trafford, you can listen to the new hour-long documentary I've produced on James Gibson on United Through Time. He was one of the characters in the book I've written, The Men Who Made Manchester United, which is about United's history, about how United moved to Old Trafford in the first place back in 1910. If you're interested in any of that and getting context to the kind of past ambition and vision that has been at United, then you can find it in The Men Who Made Manchester United, and maybe you want to give the podcast a go first to see if it's something you're interested in. That's on the United Through Time podcast feed. But I will wish everyone a very good week. I hope you enjoyed that episode. It's slightly different to normal. A bit of an insight into the ramblings of a match day, and an increasingly slurred voice by the end. But I hope you enjoyed that, and have a great week, and we'll be back to preview the Liverpool game very soon. Goodbye.
Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.